Hare Krishna. Thank you. Jaya, 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 Ja We'll sing the song, Sri Radhiya Stavam, from Stavamala, Rupa Goswami's, page 96, page 96 in the song book. Radhiya Stavam, from Stavamala, Srila Rupa Goswami.
Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jai Jai Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jai Jai Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jai Jai Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava
Jaya Jaya Madhava Jai Jai
ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಜಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶರ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಉನ್ನತೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಜಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶರ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶಿಲ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕೀ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಕುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ್ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಶ್ರೀಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಾಮ ಶುಭದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ತಾಯ ಬೋಧಲೇಶ್ವರಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿಧಾನಂದ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಾಮಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಣಿ ನ ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಾಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ತದಾದಿಂ ಸುಪದಾಂದಿಯಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುಧಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾಂ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗಲ್ಪದೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂದ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂದ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ತಪ್ತಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸ್ತುತೇ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಂಶಕಲ್ಪದರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪದಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಓಂ ಪಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಪ್ರತಿಬೋಧಿತಾಂ ಭಗವದಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣೇನ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಗ್ರಹಿತಾಂ ಪುರಾಣ ಮುನಿನಾಂ ಮಧ್ಯೇ ಮಹಾಭಾರತಂ ಅದ್ವೈತಾಮೃತವರ್ಷಿಣೀಂ ಭಗವದೀಂ ಅಷ್ಟಾದಶಾಧ್ಯಾಯಿನೀಂ ಅಂಬತ್ವಾಮನುಸಂಧದಾಮಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತೇ ಭವದ್ವೇಷಿಣೀಂ ನಮೋಸ್ತು ದೇ ವ್ಯಾಸ ವಿಶಾಲ ಬುದ್ಧೇ ಫುಲ್ಲಾರವಿಂದಾಯ ನವತ್ರ ನೇತ್ರ ಯೇನ ತ್ವಯಾ ಭಾರತ ತೈಲ ಪೂರ್ಣ ಪ್ರಜ್ವಾಲಿದೋ ಜ್ಞಾನಮಯ ಪ್ರದೀಪಾಂ ಪ್ರಪನ್ನ ಪಾರಿಜಾತಾಯ ತೋತ್ರವೇತ್ರೈಕಮಾಣಯೇ ಜ್ಞಾನಮುದ್ರಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಗೀತಾಮೃತ ದುಹೇ ನಮಾಂ ಸರ್ವೋಪನಿಷದೋ ಗಾವೋ ದುಗ್ಧಾ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದನ ಪಾರ್ಥೋ ವಲ್ಸ ಸುಧೀರ್ಭೋಕ್ತ ದುಗ್ಧಂ ಗೀತಾಮೃತಂ ಮಹತ್ ವಸುದೇವಸುತಂ ದೇವಂ ಕಂಸಜಾನೂರಮರ್ದನಂ ದೇವಕೀ ಪರಮಾನಂದಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ವಂದೇ ಜಗದ್ಗುರುಂ ಭೀಷ್ಮದ್ರೋಣತಟ ಜಯದ್ರತ ಜಲ ಗಾಂಧಾರ ನೀಲೋತ್ಪಲ ಶಲ್ಯಗ್ರಾಹವತಿ ಕೃಪೇಣ ವಹನಿ ಕರ್ಣೇನ ವೇಲಾಕುಲ ಅಶ್ವತ್ಥಾಮಾ ವಿಕರ್ಣ ಘೋರ ಮಗರ ದುರ್ಯೋಧನಾವರ್ತಿನಿ ಸೋತ್ತೀರ್ಣ ಖಲು ಪಾಂಡವೈರಣ ನದಿ ಕೈವರ್ತಕ ಕೇಶವಾಂ ಪಾರಾಶರ್ಯವಜ ಸರೋಜಮಲಂ ಗೀತಾರ್ಥಗಂಧೋಲ್ಕನಂ ನಾನಾಖ್ಯಾನಗ ಕೇಸರಂ ಹರಿಕಥಾ ಸಂಬೋಧನಾಬೋಧಿತಂ ಲೋಕೈ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಶಲ್ಪದೈರಹರಹ ಪೇ ಭೀಯಮಾನಂ ಮುದಾ ಭೂಯಾತ್ ಭಾರತ ಪಂಕಜ ಕಲಿಮಲ ಪ್ರಧ್ವಂಸಿನ ಶ್ರೇಯಸೆ ಮೂಕಂ ಕರೋದಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ യബ്രഹ്മ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സംഗപദേ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So, last time, few Sundays, we were discussing from Bhagavadam, Srimad Bhagavadam, and the prayers of Lord Brahma. Brahma, after he had the experience of Maya, which was Krishna has imposed on Lord Brahma during this pastime of Valsasthayam. That is when he tried to steal the calves and the cows and the cowherd boys, and try to apply Brahma's Maya on Krishna, and the result was that Brahma himself got bewildered by the Maya from Krishna. So in the Brahma Stuti, what we were discussing was Brahma's this particular prayer from Lord Brahma in Srimad Bhagavatam is particularly known for its devotion, knowledge and renunciation. And because of its Brahma, as I mentioned before, in the Garbhastuti, when Krishna appeared, Brahma's prayers were wonderful, and Krishna appreciated when Brahma understood what Krishna wanted him to say. But when it came to the pastimes of Lord Brahma here, in the middle of the 10th canto, what you will find there is, Brahma from the very beginning accepting that the offense he has committed to Krishna, and an open acknowledgement of his mistake, and also apologizing to Krishna and asking for forgiveness. So these prayers are important in the Bhagavadam in the sense that the great devotees are showing us how to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Not only that, often we have a great difficulty in understanding these prayers. It's also well known. Every prayers in the Bhagavadam are so potent with great philosophical meaning as well as their devotion. And devotees of ordinary people like us may lack the capacity to appreciate their devotion, or lack capacity to appreciate the knowledge they have expressed in their prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to Krishna. There are reasons for that, why it is like that, which everybody can easily understand. We take it that Srimad Bhagavatam is easy to understand, but Bhagavatam is not so easy to understand. Reason being that if you look in different places in the Bhagavatam, you will find also how difficult it is to understand what is pure devotion means to Krishna. Pure devotion is not something which is readily available. That is why this particular chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna spoke this Raja Yogam chapter to Arjuna, Krishna says it is simple at the same, it is simple to understand, it is simple to execute, but to reach that level of consciousness, it takes a long, long time in a devotee's mind. That's why Pavitramidam Uttamam Pratyakshavakamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartumavyayam. It is easily executed and it is joyfully executed, but at the same time, it is pure, it is very highly transcendental. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, in the third canto, you will find some interesting indications of this in the Bhagavatam itself. Those who read Bhagavatam very seriously and try to think about it or reflect on those things, they will notice all these things in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is such a storehouse of all the indications for a devotee to see what is going wrong with his own spiritual life. Often we take it, we read Bhagavatam like a textbook. And that will not help, because Srimad Bhagavatam is the is the realizations of the great personalities who have followed this process of Raja Yoga, who have understood what Krishna expects a devotee to practice in one's life. In the third canto,
when the Varaha appearance happened, Lord Varaha's appearance, which is one of the, which is the first incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Varaha, when Varaha incarnation happened, and at that time, the earth planet gone missing, and it has gone missing. Lord Brahma created Swayambhu Manu and Shadarupa from his body, and they were the first couple through whom the process of creation was going to start. Prior to that, there is other activities what Lord Brahma has performed, which did not become very successful. And eventually, Brahma found the answer to create this man and woman. That is how Shadarupa and Swayambhu Manu were created. So when Swayambhu Manu and Shadarupa was created, For them, they asked Brahma, what is our duty? Brahma told them to go into the earthly planet and manage there, and at the same time, and to increase the progeny. That was the instruction given to Swayambhu Manu. So Swayambhu Manu and Shadarupa, when they wanted to come to the earthly planet was gone missing. It was missing. It was pushed into Rasadalam by Hiranyaksha. And Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, in the Varaha appearance, lifted the earthly planet from there and brought back into its original place in the middle of the planetary system, and it was kept there. So Varaha incarnation, Krishna has performed this wonderful pastime of bringing the earthly planet from Rasadalam back to the middle of the planetary systems, and it was placed in its position. So when Swayambhu Manu and Shadarupa came here, at the same time, many of the Lord Brahma's children, the Prajapatis, they were also asked to come here. And they have selected at that time, there were many, many great rivers on the planet, which were very known for its piety, and great Brahmanas, they performed their austerities on the banks of the river Saraswati. Saraswati river has now practically disappeared to our vision, but Saraswati river was known for all the great settlement of all the great personalities, great sages, and particularly Kardama Prajapati was present there on the banks of this river Saraswati. Saraswati river, the banks of the river Saraswati, Kardama Prajapati arrived there. Kardama Prajapati was more or less like a leader for most of the rishis who were present there, of the great sages who were present on the banks of the river Saraswati. Kardama Prajapati was more like a leader among them, in the sense that he was well known for his austerities and penances. So this Kardama Prajapati, who had a very high degree of mode of goodness, this Kardama Prajapati executed his austerities and penances on the banks of this river Saraswati, and meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, for 10,000 years, Srimad Bhagavatam says like that. For 10,000 years, Kardama Prajapati executed his penances on this Saraswati river bank. Prajasrajedi Bhagavan Kardamo Brahmano Dida Saraswatyam Tavastebe Sahasranam Samadashaha. That 10,000 years he executed his penances, and according to instructions from Lord Brahma, and after 10,000 years the Supreme Lord appeared in front of Kardama Prajapati. And Krishna's presence there is discussed here. Tavat prasanno bhagavan pushkarakshakrade yuge darshayama sadam shanta kshatta shabdam brahmadadvabhu sadam virajam arkhavam sadavalpolvalasrajam snigdhamilalagavradavaktrabjam virajombaram kiridinam kundalinam shankajakragadhadaram shedolpalakridanagam anasparshasmidekshanam vinyastacharanam bhojam sadeshe gurulpada krishtakhevastidam vakshashriyam kaustubhagandharam jadaharshopadanmudha kshidolabdhamanorathaha girbhistvabhyagnarpridi swabhavalmakridanjali. When Kardama Prajapati saw the Supreme Lord, immediately he paid his obeisances to the Supreme Personality. And at that time, Kardama Prajapati's prayers to Krishna, to the Supreme Lord, is mentioned in the Bhagavatam like this. After 10,000 years of penances, when Supreme Lord appeared in front of Kardama Prajapati, Kardama Prajapati's immediate response to the appearance was that, how fortunate I am and how merciful you are. This is how Kardama Prajapati started his prayers. How fortunate I am and how merciful you are. In order to glorify the Supreme Lord requires a proper understanding also. One may wonder why Kardava Prajapati said like that, isn't it? Why Kardava Prajapati has said like that? Kardava Prajapati obviously was glorifying Krishna to be thankful to him for coming in front of him. And at the same time, Kardava Prajapati considered that it was a great mercy that Krishna has decided to come in front of him. One may wonder, why is it such an important thing? After all, poor Kardava Prajapati has spent 10,000 years. And after spending 10,000 years performing severe austerities and penances, Krishna has decided to come and see him. So normally people may wonder, does he not deserve that? After all, 10,000 years is not a small amount of time. The 10,000 years of penances, and Krishna has decided to come and see him. But we will not understand that. We will not fully appreciate that sentiments of Kardava Prajapati or the mercy of Krishna. The reason is that Kardava Prajapati says here in this that many of us do not really understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We don't understand that. And that is obvious, because when we think that Kardava Prajapati's 10,000 years of performances, it has taken 10,000 years of Kardava Prajapati's time for, obviously this has happened in the Kriyugam, in Satyugam this has happened, that Krishna has decided to come. And that mercy what Krishna has shown is not unusual, in the sense that when we look at it in this way, that Krishna decided to come there only because he decided to please his devotee. Therefore he had come. Because Kardava Prajapati wanted to see the Supreme Lord, and he had some desire in him. And in order to speak to Krishna, not to speak to the Supreme Lord, Krishna has given him this opportunity. We do not normally think like that, because what we do not know ourselves is how many lifetimes we have gone changing these bodies in this world. How many thousands and thousands, not one or two, thousands and thousands of different forms we have already gone through in this planet. We have taken different forms, and tens and thousands of form bodies we have changed. And not in any one of those forms we had any desire to cultivate Krishna consciousness. There was no desire in us. All the time we were looking for some temporary happiness in this world. This was the nature of all of us. That most of us, obviously, our desire was to cultivate some temporary, to develop some temporary happiness in this world. That is what for we have worked. Either the happiness was centered around one's own family life, or any other acquiring wealth and a comfortable situation in this world. And we never had, the thoughts had never gone in that there was something superior to all these things, and the human life had a different purpose. This has never stuck into our mind. It has never developed that thought. Even if it had come at any time, priority was not that. That was not the priority. Priority was something different. As I mentioned before, that the desire for making our life comfortable in this world, the so-called security of this life, and also to acquire material opulences and to enjoy the senses, this was always the priority. And because it was like that, so many lifetimes we had to go through, changing our bodies in this world. And eventually, to develop this consciousness that serving Krishna is the topmost priority in this life, that has taken a very, very long amount of time to come to that understanding. Very, very long amount of time. Kardava Prajapati says it like this. Krishi Ruvaja says, Bhagavatam says like that. The sages, the Kardava Prajapati has said like this. ജുഷ്ടം വദാധ്യാഖില സത്വരാശൈ സാംസിദ്ധ്യമശ്നോസ്തവ ദർശനാന്നഹ യദ്ദർശനം ജന്മഭിരീഢ്യ സദ്ഭിരാശാസദേ യോഗിനോരുഢയോഗാഃ. That great, great yogis, how many lifetimes they spend in trying to have a darshan of the Supreme Lord. That is what Karna Pajavati says. So, it is not so easy to have a darshan of Krishna, to see Krishna. It is not so easy. And Karna Pajavati says that Jushtam badadhya gila sattva rashi saam siddhya mashno stava darshanannaha yad darshanam janmabhiridya sadbirashasade yogino rudha yogaha. That yogino rudha yogaha, that great, great yogis who are completely absorbed in their yoga systems, for them to have a darshanam of seeing Krishna is even a very, very difficult thing. It takes such a long time to see Krishna. So one lifetime, two lifetimes, it is not going to happen. It takes many, many lifetimes, thousands of lifetimes sometimes, to see the Supreme Personality. And that is why it is mentioned in the Bhagavadam, Karna Pajavati acknowledges that, unless you have shown this mercy, it would not have been possible for me to see you. Often people misunderstand that this spiritual journey back to home, back to Godhead, is only such a simple phenomenon. That it is not so simple if you read Srimad Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam is indicating to us what a great sacrifice we have to make to come to that position. So, from this you can see that Kardama Prajapati, why he spoke like this, was for this reason. That several lifetimes we had gone through without inquiring about Krishna. And even if we did inquire, priority was not Krishna. It was something different. All the things, like even if one has a wonderful job in this world, all those things are not going to last that long, maybe 40, 45 years maximum. After that, it'll cool off. There is nothing after that to get any pleasure out of it. And as far as the family and family life is concerned, is also like that. In the beginning, it will all start with great enthusiasm. But by the end of that family life, more or less, if we want to finish it up and wind it off once for all, that will be the best solution to the problem. That conclusion also, when one after the other problem starts coming in life, that is what the householder life is on offer. So everything in this world, when one endeavors for, in the temporary world or in the temporary happiness, what we are running after, is only giving us a temporary happiness also coming from that. And none of this happiness does not last too long. And it goes away. And with that we realize that the effort what we have put in to acquire that happiness was not worth the while. So that realization comes, but it is much too late by then to do anything about it. So Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, because of this, that the if you have, say, one has worked very hard throughout life, like some people do, they work so much and acquire so much wealth. And the result was that wealth is good if wealth is used for dharmic purposes. For offer to Krishna it is good. But otherwise what can you do with this? You can put it in the bank and keep checking the passbook or the do things like that and feel some happiness out of it, if it is any happiness in that. But the reality is that everything what works for in this world is only can help a person for maintaining this material body in this world, and send a very minimum happiness that comes from that. But one who has enjoyed the mercy of Krishna, one who has experienced the Krishna consciousness, happiness of Krishna consciousness in serving Krishna, this is one thing that never diminishes. The happiness from Krishna consciousness, when Krishna gives some experiences in life that serve me, that is the perfection of happiness. And when one experiences that, not once, not twice, not thrice, it continuously increases. It never goes away. It never goes away. From this you can understand that the Krishna consciousness or the process of Krishna consciousness is different than any of our other activities in this world. Other activities, although we spend a lot of time to acquire that happiness, the results that come from that is very, very minimum. And there, then we get frustrated from that. So, Bhagavatam is saying like this, that the why this, first of all, the desire to serve Krishna and the desire to please Krishna. Bhakti means to love Krishna. That is bhakti. That bhakti is defined by Narada Bhakti Sutram in different ways. And yatha vraja gopi ganam, Narada Muni says there in the Bhakti Sutram, that like the gopis have loved Krishna, and that is the kind of love that is pure love for Krishna, without expecting anything in return from Krishna. So, there are so many examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam mentioned, that the pure devotees, when they pray to Krishna, this is what they are looking for. That realization in Krishna consciousness, to experience that mercy of Krishna, not once, not twice, but ever after. And this is one thing that goes life after life. And that is what takes a person back home, back to Krishna. But as long as that doesn't happen, majority of our relationship with Krishna is purely on a, not on a business platform. It is not bhakti. Bhakti is something, that is why Raja Yoga is so important to understand. When Krishna says, it is simple to execute, but to get that consciousness is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. If you read the next verse in this sage's prayers, you will see that what he said about that. Ye mayaya te hatameda sastval padaravindam bhavasindhu bhavatam upasade kamalavaya tesham asisha kamanireye piyesyum. Ye mayaya te hatameda sastval. What happens is that most of the people in this world, because normally when somebody talks about Krishna, or someone glorifies about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or anywhere, the general tendency among the people is to think that person has nothing else to do. He is just spacing his time with the Srimad Bhagavatam. Whenever you go to him, he only talks about Krishna. There is nothing else interesting for him to say. So like this, this tendency builds up in the mind. Many people, this happens. This tendency builds up in the mind. The result is that they become disrespectful to Krishna, indifferent to Krishna, and in many ways, so many offensive attitude builds up inside. When this offensive attitude builds up, at some point in time, distress starts coming in life. In different forms, it starts developing life. So when the distresses develop in life, the result will be that at that point, they come to Krishna for a relief from the material distress. And this distress can be in different forms in this life. One can experience that distress in different forms. When the mind has not accepted Krishna's authority as a Supreme Personality, and one becomes so offensive to the Supreme Lord, the nature will be that sometimes some difficulties do develop in life. And sometimes you see also among people, they come. When they come, they question, if you ask them, why have you started now Krishna consciousness seriously? Either they will say, sometimes it is nature of the people. Sometimes they will say, at the moment, I'm little bit struggling for cash. Or there is some problem, financial problem. So when they realize that there is some difficulty and one cannot handle the situation oneself, or are unable to, if Krishna could help a little bit in his life to solve his material problems, then he has come to Krishna for that. Various kinds of transactions goes on between Krishna and the so-called devotees. And then Krishna does help also, it's not like Krishna doesn't help. Krishna sees the devotee's distress and will offer some help also according to the situation. Krishna knows better what he deserves or not. In other cases, sometimes, yes, trying to become happy in this world, after the marriage, no children. So at that time, the couple decides that maybe we should take to Krishna consciousness seriously. Maybe Krishna would help, that by Krishna's mercy we have some children. Because otherwise the marriage is not complete, they feel. So in that way, for different reasons, if you ask a third person, he will say, for quite some time, the body is giving me trouble. Different illnesses are coming, one after the other. And I've been having a great difficulty for my life in this world. So, like this, either for health or for wealth or for whatever progeny or whatever reason it is, they've all come to Krishna with their request. With their request. While putting this request to Krishna, they are not thinking who Krishna is. Do they? Do they think who Krishna is? No. If only they knew who Krishna is, it will be ashamed to put this request to Krishna, because billions and trillions of universes are coming from Krishna's body. They are coming in, they are going out and coming in all the time. He is the proprietor, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the proprietor of billions and billions of universes, is coming from Him. And to that person, in order to satisfy my some silly material desire, I am going up to Him and asking Him for some help. Is that not an offense to Him, first of all? Because you go to a billionaire and ask him, give me 5 pence please. How does it look? It is more of a shame on that billionaire rather than your 5 pence. Because he is so big and so great. Krishna's position, if you understand from the Srimad Bhagavatam and from Bhagavad Gita, and Mattaparadaram Nanyal Kinchidasti Dhananjaya Mai Sarvamidam Pradam Sutre Manigana Iva. That is Krishna's position. That Sarvayonishu Kaundeya Murtaya Sambhavandiya Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir Aham Bija Pradapidaha. So everywhere if you look in the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has been presented like this by Vedavyasa Maharshi. Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying who is Krishna. But we don't think any of these things, do we? We don't think anything, who Krishna is, what is it. At the moment, my desire has to be fulfilled. That is why I would come to Krishna and ask for, I'll do everything in order to get that from Krishna. So Krishna is looking at us and smiling that for this you have performed, and exactly the same thing has happened to Kardama Prajapati also. Kardama Prajapati knew these things very well, and that's what he's saying there. Ye mayaya te hathameda sastval padara vindam bhava sindhu bodham. Krishna's lotus feet is such, if you hold on to that, you can get the eternal happiness. Not these temporary little things in this world. Wealth, progeny and health, this, that and the other. That Krishna offers, that is not such a big thing for Supreme Lord. Krishna is smiling at us when He gives it to us. That Krishna has no difficulty in offering them. But Krishna thinks that this person is not very intelligent. The person who is asking these things is not very intelligent. Because he comes and he is asking me for this. Kardama Prajapati's life itself is an indication of that. That Kardama Prajapati, after 10,000 years of penances, he decided to ask something. But before asking, he admitted his fault. In the sense that he says here, Upasate kamalevaya tesham asisha kama nirayebiyasyum. That material desires are there, and I too have a material desire, he says. I too have a material desire. And that material desire was, he openly, Krishna says to Kardama Prajapati, tell me what is your desire? Kardama Prajapati says, after so many years I have experiencing now, being alone is not so good, and I need a partner. This was the desire. Kardama Prajapati had this desire, that he wanted a wife, he wanted a partner in his life. So Kardama Prajapati expressed this desire to Krishna. From this you can understand that even after 10,000 years of austerities and penances, material desires has not gone away from inside. Material desires have not left him. And if a personality like Kardama Prajapati is telling us that these material desires inside, it's not very easy to get it off. Sometimes people will say like this, that, oh, I have no material desire anymore. Everything ready to go back home, back to Krishna. 100% you can say when somebody says like that. 100% you can take it for granted that this is just words from the lips. It doesn't mean anything more than that. If Kardama Prajapati's life in the Srimad Bhagavatam is any indication that how long it takes to free oneself from material desires, one can see that. Even after 10,000 years of penances, Kardama Prajapati's material desire came back to him. That he wanted to live a comfortable life in this world, and he wanted a partner or a wife, and he was not hesitating to ask the Supreme Personality of Godhead for that. After 10,000 years of austerities and penances, this is what has come from Karna Prajapati's mind. So Krishna has no problem. Krishna gives such things also. Krishna has no difficulty in giving material desires and fulfilling the material desires. But at the same time, Krishna thinks that, did you serve me for 10,000 years to ask me to give me a wife? Is that something very very laudable, or something one should think about? So from this, one can understand that pure devotion to Krishna is not very simple thing. So many different kinds of material desires are coming one after the other. For particular instance, for a particular moment in time in life, one can say that one has no material desire. Next moment, something else he sees, or something else he hears, or something else he desire can pop up immediately in the heart, and whole what has been spoken an hour ago has been forgotten. So that is the nature of this human mind, and that's the nature of material desires as well. So Srimad Bhagavatam is saying to us that the devotees like Lord Brahma, when they glorify Krishna, what we have to remember is, in order to appreciate that, we have to be free from material desires also. Otherwise it is very difficult to understand why Lord Brahma is speaking about Krishna in this way. That adhāpi de deva padam bhujadvayam prasādalesha anugrihidamevahi jānāpi dattvam bhagavan mahimno najānyameko pichiram vijinvan. That this tattvam, or the principle of Krishna, is so superior beyond our material consciousness to understand. But when do we understand then? Adhāpi de deva padam bhujadvayam prasādalesha anugrihidamevahi. When there is, Krishna gives us that little mercy, little purity in our heart, and then one is able to approach Krishna in that way, at that time he may understand. Janami dattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanyame kopi chiram vijinvan. Krishna's glories and Krishna's position is difficult for us to understand. Janami dattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanyame kopi chiram vijinvan. If you simply sit in one place and try to understand who is Krishna and what is Krishna's position, we will never understand. We don't even understand when Krishna comes to this universe and performs some pastimes in this world, even there we are doubtful about Krishna. What Krishna has done, is that all true? Or is it some stories Krishna, somebody has made it up? This is how we think about it. But in order to appreciate Krishna as the proprietor of the universes, millions and millions of universes, who is controlled by the Supreme Lord and transcendental to the three modes of material nature, in his abode in Goloka Vrindavanam, Krishna manages this whole creation, millions of brahmandam, many brahmandams are under Krishna's control, is manifesting and coming and going back to him. So because we do not appreciate these things, because we have no understanding of it, we also do not understand Krishna's position. For the moment, what we think is, if Krishna can give me what I want, then you're okay. Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, who is Krishna? What does it matter? Whoever it is, let it be. That's the approach also. So this difficulty is there in our mind. Material mind, which is under the lower modes of nature, will only see one's own interest, one's own personal happiness. For him to please Krishna is not the priority. That is why Karna Prajapati said here that if, in spite of 10,000 years of austerities and penances, if Krishna had come, desired to show himself to the devotee, how merciful he has to be. Otherwise, why Krishna has to show, when he knows very well that he is waiting there with the whole list of his demands? That's all what he wants from me. He has no... Our bhakti is not based on love. Our bhakti is purely based on material desires. That is why it is not something which will attract Krishna very much. But because we have performed these austerities and penances to some extent, that Krishna shows some mercy and gives us some material happiness. And when he gives some material happiness, we think that Krishna is pleased with me. and therefore he has given me all this money and all this wealth and all this fame and happiness. Material desires don't go so easily from anyone's mind. It can come in different forms. Even in coming to spiritual life, it doesn't leave. What to talk about great, great sannyasis, even their material desires doesn't finish. That desires will come in a subtle form from inside. And it will come, why didn't Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say this? Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmani shwari, bhavadad bhakti rahaitu gitvayim. That bhakti is not such a simple thing. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Material opulences is unlimited, one likes to have it. It is endless, it is. Because he does not know that human life has something better than that to acquire. Na dhanam, na janam. Then one's followers. Everywhere you go, you need thousands of followers with you. We like it because that is also a subtle desire inside for fame that is coming. Srimad Bhagavatam very clearly says about these things that when one is way back home, back to Krishna, if one has not taken care of these things, they themselves can come as a block on your way back to home. Back to Krishna. So therefore, Krishna says that even in spiritual life, these are causes of fall down that will come on their way and block your path. That you will get affected by that, and the result will be that Krishna consciousness will go away from that person. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadat bhakti rahaitu gitvayi. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says like this, that life after life, that means there is a life after life. That is what he meant. Bhavadat bhakti rahaitu gitvayi. Only pure devotion to Krishna should stay in the heart, nothing else. This was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayers in the Chittashtakam. So from this, you can see that great personalities, great acharyas, they know what is the route, what is the way back home, back to Krishna. That unless one has gone through that process, it is impossible to get Krishna. It's impossible to get Krishna. That is why it is said in the third canto here, that this verse shows that it is Krishna's mercy alone that he has decided to come. Not these 10,000 years of austerities. Only due to that mercy of Krishna, he has decided to come in front of the friend of Kardama Prajapati. Kardama Prajapati asked Krishna at that time about his desire to get married. And then Krishna immediately understood that he had a desire for that and arranged the marriage with Swayambhu Manu's daughter who was Devahuti. Swayambhu Manu and Shatrubha had Akudi, Devahuti, Prasudi, three daughters, and Priyavrata and Uttanavada, two sons, totally five children he had. So out of this, Ruchi Prajapati married Akudi, Kardama Prajapati married Devahuti, and Daksha Prajapati married Prasudi. So the three girls were married to these three Prajapatis. Prajapati means that they are the progenitors or who are causes for the increase of the progeny in this world. So Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us a test run there of our spiritual understanding through this Kardama Prajapati's words. So going back to Brahmastri, what we were discussing last Sunday was that Lord Brahma spoke to Krishna about this, and we saw there that verse 24, there are totally 40 verses in the Brahmastri. Brahma's glorification is about 40 verses in the chapter 14 of 10th canto. Verse 24. Evam vidham tvam sakalalpanamabhi svalpanamalpalpadaya vichakshadem guruvarka lebdho vanishal sujakshusha yede tarandiva bhavan hrutambhudim. Srimad Bhagavatam is saying that when evam vidham tvam sakalalpanamabhi svalpanamalpalpadaya vichakshadem, that Krishna, who is the super soul within everyone, every living entity, who is the supreme soul, and when Krishna is forgotten, and one, when guruvarka lebdho vanishal sujakshusham, that the spiritual master is considered to be like the sun, and with the light of the sun, we are able to see things, isn't it? We are able to see things with the light of the sun. Similarly, the knowledge the spiritual master has given with the help of the spiritual master, we are able to see our true identity, what we are. Our true identity we can see with the help of the spiritual master. This is the first thing. That why do we not see our true identity? That is the first thing, isn't it? The true identity we know from the Shastram, that we are spirit soul. But at the moment we have no realization of our true identity. The intelligence, the false ego, the mind, the senses, none of them is our true identity. They are all conditions that has been imposed on the spirit soul, which has been acquired during the conditioned state. Otherwise, the nature of the spirit soul is Sachidanandam, eternal, blissful and knowledge. That is the true nature of the spirit soul. But we are not experiencing that. We are, on the other hand, experiencing all the miseries of this material world, isn't it? The mind is constantly giving us a continuous commentary on what's going on in this world. So, naturally, there is somewhere something wrong. Shastras are saying that our true identity is Sachidanandam, eternal, blissful and knowledge. But at the moment, we have no eternity, we have no knowledge, and we have no bliss either. So, in this situation, why does this happen? That is what, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says like this. Brahma is explaining that when the knowledge has properly developed inside, Guru Varkalabdho Vanishal Sujakshusha Yede Tarandiva Bhavanudam Bhudim. That is important, because when that knowledge which has been given by the spiritual master has properly illuminated inside, one can cross over the ocean of material existence, he says. But also Brahma says, this material existence is also false. It's not true. So what does he mean by that? That we are fighting against something which is false again, isn't it? That the thing called liberation and bondage is not something to do with the soul. Soul has nothing to do with that. But at the moment, if someone asks you that why I am suffering like this, you are definitely accepting I am suffering. Why? Because the identification with the soul doesn't exist. Identification with the body strongly exists. So because of the identification with the body is so strong, you have to experience the distress of this world, as well as the so-called happiness also of this world. So, Guru Varkalabdho Vaishal Sojachusha Yete Tarandiva Bhava Anurdam Budhim. That exactly like when the identification with the body has gone and the spirit soul has manifested in a person due to the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, when that manifests, exactly the vision goes away of this world. Everything that is material goes away. And the result will be that automatically you will identify with the spirit soul. So when that happens, you will realize that what you were fighting against, this so-called Maya's arrangement in this world, is also false. That will also be realized at that time. Up to that point, it's all real. We take it that everything is so real that you are fighting against so many things in this world, trying to change this, trying to change that, and experiencing the distress every time, and often going back to Krishna and complaining to him, why you have put me into this situation. Actually, that is due to this is where the knowledge of the Brahmastuti comes in. Brahma's glorification here, Brahma is explaining that something that doesn't exist, you are fighting against that. In the illusion, you are thinking that I have been fallen into this condition, and tomorrow I have to fight against this. I'm fighting against this all the time. And one day I'll be released from this and I'll go back home, back to Godhead, and there everything will be organized for me very nicely and I'll be enjoying there. But strictly speaking, even in this world, that doesn't exist. The distress what has come to us is nothing but actually what has come from our own ignorance that has developed inside. So when the ignorance goes away and our vision is clear and the realization has come, which is called a self-realization, when the self-realization has happened, then you also realize that all that you were complaining about also didn't exist. So this is the beauty of that illusion. That is why Brahma is stressing that point here. Guru Varkalabdho Vanishal Sujakshusha Yede Tarandiva Bhavanurdam Bhudim. That you cross over this Maya, and Maya's influence is so powerful, we cannot accept that there is a problem there. That somebody may say that there is so many interesting things you can discuss in this point. sometimes you will see people, there is a verse in the, it is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that particular verse. It comes in relationship with the Bhagavata Dharma, when it is discussed by the nine great sages, Navayogis. When they discuss that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the one verse referring to, which is famous. You will go to many, many temples, they will see people reciting this verse. What does it mean? Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyalpana va prakrite svabhaval karodi yadyal sakalam varasmai narayanaye iti samarpayami. It's a famous verse. In many temples, when you go, people will, you will see them reciting this verse. What it means, kayena vacha manasendriyerva, by my body, by my words, by my mind, by my senses, and by my intelligence, whatever I am doing, manasendriyerva buddhyalpana va prakrite svabhava, according to my nature, whatever I am executing, work in this life, karodi yadyal sakalam varasmai, I offer everything to you, Narayana yedi samarpayami, Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana, I am offering everything to you. People come, they recite this verse in front of the deity. Normally you take it that, by this is a verse which means a lot. That means ultimately you are offering everything to Krishna. But as soon as you recite this verse, then you look back, is my slipper still there? So this is what that samarpanam has happened. Narayana yadi samarpayami, everything has been offered to Krishna. With so much faith and with so much understanding, the next thing, as soon as he goes back and looks, either my shoes are gone or not, or is still there or not. So this is a mechanical way of doing things. In a mechanical way, doing things. That doesn't help. Because the spirit is not there. Then Krishna also take it in the same way, the way you have spoken the words. Krishna also take it, all right, you go bound, now the shoes will not be gone, it will be still there, you take it. So you are happy, at least the shoes are there, that hasn't gone. So also you feel happiness that you offered this, everything to Krishna now. You offered everything to Krishna, according to the verse. But what has been offered? And we are back into square one again, continue with our ordinary material activity. So these kind of things, when we do not completely appreciate the, when Navayogis were questioning these to Nimi Maharaj. Nimi Maharaj was asking the questions to the nine yogis. Kavir Hari Yandaricha Prabuddha Pipalayanam Avar Hotroschadrumilas Chamasakarabhajana. The nine sages who came there, they were questioned by it is a very serious discussion that has happened in that satram, in the assembly of the King Nimi. Or in the Bhagavatam it is called as Nimi Jayande Samvadam, because they are the children of Jayandi, Indra's daughter. Jayanti's children are these nine sages who are married by, who are the children of Rishabhadev. So they appeared at that particular spot at the time of the sacrifice, and they were questioned by Nimi Maharaj. And in answer to that, this is how he discusses Bhagavata Dharma or Krishna consciousness, how to surrender to Krishna, and ultimately the perfection of Krishna consciousness. And when we recite that verse, it loses its all its spirit, completely gone. It becomes another verse in our mouth and our lips. So this is what it is saying, that Guruvar Kalabdho Manishal Sujakshusha Yede Tarandiva Bhavanradambhudim, that pleasing Krishna is such that by Krishna's mercy what can happen? That the ocean of material life one can cross over once for all. One can give up this cycle of birth and death. That is what Krishna is capable of offering. And to that Supreme Personality, our request is for something very silly, to meet our material life, to make our material life happiness. Alpanam eva alpadaya vijanadam avijanadam tenaiva jadam nikhilam prapanjam prapanjidam yanena bhuyo bijatal praliyade rajvamaher bhoga bhava bhavavyatham. This example you will find all the time in throughout Srimad Bhagavatam and Ekadasham also. This Rajasarpam, the snake and the rope, example is given. How? Atmanam eva atmadaya vijanadam tenaiva jatam nikhilam prabanchidam yanena bhuyo bijatal praliyate tejvamaher bhoga bhava bhavavyatam. In the earlier verse, it was spoken by, with knowledge, one can cross the material existence, the ocean of material existence, one can cross over. Or at least he'll know that he has crossed over. That, and one who knows by through process of knowledge one can know one's identity as the spirit soul. That, but how does this happen? An example is given here. Rajvamaher bhoga bhava bhavau yatha. That when one sees the snake in darkness, or sometimes when there is not enough light, one has misunderstood something as a snake, a rope as a snake. And then at that time, at that particular point in time, when one has mistakenly seen the rope, he is thinking that it is a snake. And his conviction is very clear in his mind, it is a snake. And he sees that as a snake, and that is how he accepts that. So when through the knowledge, through someone has pointed out to him, and someone brings a light and shows it to him, that it is not a snake, it is a rope. And when that knowledge comes to him, the perception of snake has gone away from his mind. Perception of snake has gone away from his mind. He realizes that it was only due to his lack of understanding that he has mistakenly taken it as the snake. So at that point in time, it was real for him, isn't it? At that particular point in time, when he mistakenly took it as the snake, it was real for him. But as soon as the knowledge developed inside, spiritual knowledge developed inside, he has come to the point to understand that it is no more snake, what he was seeing, but rather it was a rope. So when the knowledge developed, he came across that ignorance and he was relieved from that illusion. Similarly, Lord Brahma says here, that when the knowledge builds up inside as a spiritual identity, as a spirit soul, immediately the material world collapses at that point. There is no more material existence exists for him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the same verse, in a different instance also, both in the third canto as well as in the 11th canto, the same thing is spoken in a very, very nice way. You will see there, and the same verses are repeated in the third as well as in the 11th canto. So what happens to that person? Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, it is in the same chapter, in the same canto, where Kardama Prajapati and Devahuti Devi had a wonderful married life, and after that Kardama Prajapati goes away from home, takes sannyas and leaves from home. And Devahuti Devi approaches her son, Kapila Vasudeva, who was an incarnation of Krishna, who brought Sankhya philosophy to this world. So Kapila Vasudev there talks to Devahuti Devi various things, and at that point he talks about this the situation with the self-realization. Deham jadam na parama siddham uthidam va siddho vibhashadeyadho dhyagamal swarupam daiva aduvedam uda daiva vashad avedam vaso yadha parigradam madhiramathandam deham jadam na charam siddham uthidam va. That when material body is at a particular time, when the realization had come to him, when the yogi or the devotee or the jnani, whoever it is, when he has realized himself what he is, the true identity, if he has realized, what will happen at that time? Siddho vibhashyati yatho jagamal swarupam. He has understood his swarupam, his true form, true identity, what he is. He has realized that. Then siddho vibhashyati yatho jagamal swarupam deham jadana pacharam astidam uthidam va. For him, at that time, whether the body is existing or doesn't exist, doesn't matter to him. It doesn't bother him anymore. Because that's finished for him. That is completely finished for him. Deiva adu vedam uda deiva vashad avedam. Then why does the body stay? That question will come, isn't it? If he is self-realized, why does the body stay still? The reason for that is, this self-realization has happened now. It didn't happen at the time of birth, isn't it? Before he got this particular form of body, the certain amount of prarabdha karma has decided that he has to experience that in this body. So therefore, it was already determined that how many years he will live in this body. But the realization has happened now in the middle. Because it has happened now, the body cannot be thrown away, because it was already fixed up prior to that. That is the reason for that. Deiva adu vedam uda deiva vashad avedam. That has come due to prarabdham, and it will go away also when the time when prarabdham is finished. Vasoyadha Marikradam Madhira Madhantha. That is Krishna's comparison to that. Krishna says this in the Ekadasham to Uddhava. The same thing what Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti Devi here. What will happen is that exactly like a person, when he is drunk, he doesn't know whether he has got the clothes or the clothes are still there or not. It doesn't matter to him. He is not affected by that. Is it not? So Krishna says here, Kapila Vasudev also says here, Deva Adubedam Uda Deva Vashadabedam. Deva means karma. Karma has brought this body here. And karma will take it away also from him. Vaso yatha parikritam madhira madhandha. When one is intoxicated and one walks around in this world, fully intoxicated, he is not aware if the clothes have fallen off or gone away. And that is the exact situation of this realized soul also. The realized soul is exactly in the same situation, that it does not affect him at all. But we are thinking that he is actually, he is gone crazy. That is what we think about him. Actually, he is thinking we are crazy. Because when he sees from his position, when he is seeing us, our heart struggle in this material world to maintain this temporary material body, and day after day struggling in this world, trying to acquire so much material happiness in this world, and finishing up everything, ending up in frustration and unhappiness, that person is thinking, Vaso yada parigradam madhira madhandha, that he is thinking about us and seeing our situation, but he has gone beyond than that. So Bhagavatam explains these things to us, that a person, when he is self-realized, he is not bound by our rules anymore. Those rules are for us. We have all this restriction on us. On our body we need clothes when we walk around. Otherwise we will be taken by the police for exposure. And so many things. So all these laws and rules is binding us here. We have to obey the laws of the police. You have to obey the laws of the country. Laws of the society. Etiquettes of this world. Whatever etiquette they have created. But all these etiquettes have no meaning as soon as one has finish our material existence. They are there only as long as this material existence is there. Not only that, Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, there are so many interesting things about that. In this world, we think that somebody is on a higher position, somebody is on a lower position. And whereas Krishna is concerned, they are only up to the point till you come to me. When you have reached, got to me, then they don't exist anymore. In this particular, in the material world, we have created so many high and low conditions in relationship with our life in this world. They have no value as far as the self-realization is concerned. And for a realized soul, they don't bind him anymore. Deho abhidaiva vashagam khalu karmayaval swarambhagam pratisamikshatam evasasu tam saprabanjam adhiruda samadhiyogam swapnam punarnabhajade pratibuddhavastu. Another important verse in the Bhagavatam. These two verses, they come in the third canto as well as in the 11th canto. While speaking to Dho also, Krishna talks about that. Deho abhi deiva vashakam khalu karmayaval. Where did the material body come from? It has come from karma. Karma has decided this material body. And often people are very particular about giving all shelter to other material bodies as well. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when one has come to that level of realization, one does not hanker or try to protect other material bodies to the extent what other people do. Conditioned soul thinks that material body is everything. And material body one has got only due to one's own karma. And that karma, when the karma is finished, he has to leave that body also. Number one. Number two, in that body, whatever he is experiencing, sometimes they are put into a lot of distress and a lot of happiness. That is also his own creation. It has happened due to his own sinful activities. Sinful activities comes back in different ways. But without understanding any of these things, we take it that, it is my duty to help that person. And I am working very hard to think that if I don't help them, I am not human. All my compassion. In the Bhagavatam, this is explained very nicely in the first canto itself. Vedavyas puts it very clearly. How does he put it? When Srinarada Maharshi came to see Yudhishthira Maharaj, after Krishna has departed from this world, Arjuna came from Dwaraka to Hastinapur, crying. What did he say? Vanchidoham Maharaja Harina Bandhuruvina. Arjuna was crying because never he thought that Krishna will leave him like that. Never in his dreams he thought Krishna will go away without telling a word to him. Vanchidoham Maharaja. So therefore, what did Arjuna say to Yudhishthira Maharaj? He came crying and fell at Yudhishthira Maharaj's feet and said, Krishna has cheated me. He has cheated me. That's the word he has. Vanchidoham, he says. I've been cheated. We also say like that, isn't it? Sometimes when someone close to us leaves, we also say, he has cheated us, he has left. But here, the significance is that Harina Bandhurubina, that just like our relative, he was with us all along. Pandavas can never forget Krishna any time. Because throughout Pandavas' welfare, who looked after? Who looked after Pandavas all the time? It was Krishna. And having experienced Krishna's shelter, they were feeling that happiness all the time under Krishna's shelter. So that Pandava, particularly Arjuna, who had such a close relationship with Krishna, goes and says, Vanchidoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurubina, that Harina Bandhurubina, that who was with us as relative has left us. And Arjuna started crying. At that time, Yudhishthira also fell into great depression. He felt very depressed at that time. It was at that time that Srinarada Maharshi comes and talks to Yudhishthira Maharaj. What did he say to him? My dear Yudhishthira, there is no point in lamenting about anyone in this world. Anybody in this world, there is no point in lamenting about that. Just like every one of us, Yudhishthira, Narada Muni says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, one frog is sitting in the mouth of one snake. Another frog is sitting in the mouth of another snake. And this frog is telling the other frog that I will take care of you. And this is all our position in this world. All of us, every one of us, are in that situation. And here we are very busy taking care of everyone else in this world. We have this charity, that charity, so many charities, but no charity to please Krishna. There is no charity there. All the charity is for pleasing the rest of the world. This is where Shastram comes in. That great, great sages, Srinarada Maharshi, Sukadeva Goswami, Vasishtha Maharshi, they didn't run any charities. If they could have done if they wanted it, could they not? But did they run any charities in this world? No. They enlightened the world with spiritual understanding of our true identity. What is our responsibility in this world is? Our first and foremost responsibility is to please Krishna. When Krishna is pleased, all these problems go away. When Krishna is not pleased, any amount of charity is not going to solve any amount of problems in this world. This is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam tells us that if one does not understand this principle of Krishna consciousness, and that is what is exactly lacking in the whole world. Srila Prabhupada was stressing this point so strongly that as long as we do not understand our relationship with Krishna, as soon as we do not act in a way to please Krishna, you have to accept your karma in this world and suffer from that. None of you can solve any of the problems in this world by your so-called arrangements. This philosophy is so powerful that our great acharyas, all the great personalities, they have shown in their life by their teachings, by their writings and by their personal example that the solution to the problems of the material world is to develop Krishna consciousness. Nothing else will resolve that problem. So here in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says here, Deho abhideva vashakam khalu karmayaval. If one does not accept this conclusion of Bhagavatam, the knowledge from Krishna and Kapila Vasudev to Devahuti Devi, what he has spoken, Deho abhideva vashakam khalu karmayaval. Karma has brought this body to one, and karma will take it off also when it is time for that. Swarambhagam prati samikshadam evasasu. then what happens? That this person who has tried very hard in the process of self-realization, he has self-realized. Pratisamikshanam eva sasum. Then what is happening at that time is, what happens to the material body at that time? That material body is still running, is still going on. Pratisamikshanam eva sasu. Sasu means pranan. The pranan is come from the life air. Is nothing but the soul's energy. And that because the soul is still inside, the pranan will function and that will keep the body going. It doesn't require any other effort. Whatever you do, no matter what you do, the body will survive. According to Bhagavadam, the body will survive. But Swarambhagam pradisamikshanam eva sasum tam saprabanjam adhiruda samadhiyogam. But what is the consciousness of that person? He has gone beyond the material world. Adhiruda samadhi yogam. He has traveled beyond, he has gone beyond the Jagrat, Sopnam and Sushupti state. Otherwise, the vacant state, the dream state and the deep sleep through which the soul is moving around within this material world, that is finished for that. He has gone into the samadhi state where it is freed from these control situations. Suapnam punarna bhajade pratibuddha vastu. The example, what Krishna gives is such a wonderful example. The example is like this. Swapnam punarna bhajade pratibuddha vastu. Just like in the dream, you have seen something very wonderful. In the dream, you have seen something wonderful. But when you woke up, you realize that it was only a dream. Would you desire for that then? You won't think about it, would you? Because you know you are not going to get it. It's finished, it was only a dream. So similarly, that the realized soul will also see that this material body and the material nature, material existence was nothing but a similar situation. That he has already left all that and he has gone to another state of existence. And when he looks from that, he sees this all, what we today we think as real and very important, he sees from there and sees that it is has no value at all. Swapnam. Swapnam punarna bhajade pratibuddha vastu. What he has seen in this dream, he is not going to bother about it, does he? Bother about it. He is not going to bother about it. So similarly, the self-realization is such a thing that one is self-realized, one does not have to think about all the other past bank accounts and past accounts, he doesn't have to worry about it. Up to that point, all these things are important. Just like if you are in a dream, you committed an offense, for example. Say you have committed an offense in the dream. And you have been punished for, say, 15 years, rigorous imprisonment. But, in the dream, all this. So, when you are going through that punishment, 15 years, in the middle you have woken up. So who is going to suffer the remaining punishment? Who is going to suffer that? So, all these things have only that importance, in that sense, that the in different states of existence, the soul is not experiencing any of these things. It is that illusion and that the Maya's powerful energy that has trapped us in this condition and which we are experiencing all the time and suffering from that and accepting that as the reality. So, the Swapnam Vunarda Bhajade Pratibuddha Vastu. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is opening up and Lord Brahma's prayers are very potent from that point of view. Ajnana samyo bhavbandha mokshau dhaunamananyo stakhadatnya bhaval ajasrajitya almani kevale pare vijaryamane tarana vivahini. That ajnana samyo bhavbandha mokshau. Bandham and moksham, bondage and liberation, is nothing but ajnanam, ignorance, it says here. If he says that to somebody, they are not going to easily accept that. They say, I am suffering, you are telling me I am not suffering? They will ask like that, would they not? Ajnana samyo bhavandha mokshau dau namananyo stakhradatnya bhaval. That these two things are ajasrajitya almani kevale pare. Up to the point till you know about yourself, all these things are true. Exactly like Bhagavadam says here that daytime and night time, for example, every morning we wake up, isn't it? We wake up every morning and in the evening we go to bed and sleep. So, we have accepted that this as a reality, this thing called day and night. It is true for us, isn't it? But how many of us think that only in this earthly planet, here when we are here, this is all true? We never think like, oh, it is absolute thing, we take it. Once you go to the sun planet and look from there, where is the day and where is the night? They don't exist there, do they? They have no value there. There is no significant importance there. So these things are purely from ignorance we have in our present conditioned state. All these things have some meaning. The thing called the time is like that. Time is also like that. We accept time as important. Oh, I have to be there by 4 o'clock. I have to be there by 6 o'clock. We are running here, there, everywhere. Because of the commitment, we think that it is a reality. But from the spiritual point of view, one who has come to some realization, time is also has no significance. It existed. Kalasarubi is Krishna. Krishna is under his control. It says, avyaktam te swarubham duradigamadamam datva shuddhega sattvam. Krishna's form is like that trigunyal bhinna vedam trihamanisham, that three modes of material nature. Under the modes of material nature, all these things are important for us. But when one is released from the modes of nature, when one is self-realized, all these things do not have any impact on that soul, on that realized soul. Ajnana samyo bhavanda mokshaum dvaunamananyosta hridatnya bhavad ajasrajitya almani kevale pare vicharyamane tarana vivahani. That this bondage and liberation, this is exist in the soul. Therefore, that is why it is spoken like that. Just like in ignorance, when the knowledge comes in, the ocean of material existence also goes away. Tam atmanam paramatva paramatmanam evaja atma punarbahir mrigya aho ajna janada ajnyadam. That ordinary people, Brahma is saying here, okay, all these things in the Brahmastuti, although we may not fully realize it in 1 hour or 1 day or one lifetime even, the truth is spoken in the Brahmastuti. And that is why, even if it is not fully realized, if one reflects on these things, those thoughts alone will strengthen our conviction in spiritual life, the importance of spiritual life. Brahma's words are so potent. What he says here is, just like tamalpanam paramatva paramalpanam evaja alma punarbahir margya aho ajna janada ajnyadam. Then, for the moment I have accepted that this material body as myself, or all the subtle elements like mind, intelligence, false ego and senses, everything is me. That is the way I am operating at the moment in this world, everything on the bodily concept of life. I am not at all free from that. And in that bodily concept of life, I have the ignorant people. Brahma says here, ignorant people, what do they think? They think that the Supreme Lord is also somebody like that, another person sitting somewhere else. And we also think that he is sitting in Goloka with binoculars looking at us. Who is committing pious activity, who is committing sinful activity. And he is keeping an account of all these things. This is how we understand about God. Our foolish understanding is sometimes takes us to that kind of perception. Krishna sits in the temple, I am working at the office. He has nothing to do with the office. Office is mine. I work in the office, Krishna works at the temple. That's how many people perceive about Krishna. If we start thinking like that, we will end up in all wrong conclusions also. That is why Brahma opens up all this ignorance to make us realize that ajnana samyo bhavandha moksho, that here tamalpanam paramatva paramalpanam, also Krishna's position, we also, he's also somebody like that. He has no presence here. That is how we think about it. But strictly speaking, there is nothing in this world where Krishna is not present. This is because that perception is not there. Therefore, that doesn't deny Krishna's presence in the rest of the world, rest of the creation. That therefore, we go looking for Krishna elsewhere. He is only in Vrindavan, or he is only in Mayapur, he is only in Jagannathpuri, nowhere else. For us, at the moment, he is only there. Well, if we go to Vrindavan, I think I want a higher platform. In Radha Gogalananda is only there, but you know, it's not the same as in Vrindavan. Vrindavan, Krishna is on a higher platform, I am also on a higher platform there. So with all these ideas, I am running around the world looking for Krishna. What I do not know is that the very Supreme Personality is present in every tiny atom in this world. His presence is there. What's lacking me, in me, is that lack of realization. what I have not understood what Brahma has spoken. It is lack of my own understanding what is actually keeping me unable to realize Krishna's presence in here. And that is why Brahma is criticizing here. That they think that Krishna is some object outside this house, outside his world, somewhere else. And something what you have lost in the house, you are searching for that outside. Similarly, you are searching for Krishna elsewhere, thinking that he is only there or only here. This understanding has come to us. That is why Brahma is saying here, Tvam Atmanam Paramatva Paramatmanam Evaja Almo Punar Bahir Margya Aho Ajna Janada Ajnada. That just look at this ignorance of the people, Brahma says like this. Because Brahma has learned a good lesson here now, isn't it? Brahma has learned a good lesson that who Krishna is. In that pastime, if you remember, prior to this, Krishna taught Yashoda Devi also some things like that. When Yashoda Devi saw the whole creation within Krishna's mouth, and she was almost going to lose her consciousness, because she got so frightened seeing this. Never one has seen the whole creation in the mouth of somebody. And that to her darling son, Krishna. And when she saw that, she thought, there is something wrong with me. That's what she thought first. And it took a while for Krishna to bring her back to her original consciousness. It took a while. How did she do that? How did Krishna bring Yashoda Devi back to her original consciousness? Original means into the illusory consciousness. No, forgetting everything about Krishna and thinking, Krishna is my child, I have to look after him. This thought has to come back to Yashoda Devi. It was a difficult thing from that level to bring him to this level, to bring her to this level. Krishna immediately played a trick there. What did Krishna say? I need some breast milk, held on to her sari and started looking at the mother. As soon as Krishna started looking and asking for milk to drink, immediately mother, out of love for Krishna, has forgotten all what has happened up to that. And that just by one request like that, Krishna has brought Yashoda Devi back to the material world again in 1 second. This Krishna could do that. So, this is Krishna's position. Do we recognize any of these things? What we think of Krishna is only in the temple room, Krishna is only in the Vrindavan. Like this, some understanding is in our head. And we are working on that basis. Aho, ajna janada ajnada. Brahma says, look at the ignorance of the people. Andarbhaven andabhavandameva adatyajando mrigayandi sandaha asandam apyandahimandarena sandam gunandam kimayandi sandaha andarbhaven andabhavandameva adatyajando mrigayandi sandaha asandam apyandahimandarena sandam gunandam kimayandi sandaha. This is also the same thing what we have discussed before, that the ignorance in us has forced us to think some things, like mistakenly accept so many things. Like, as long as you have seen the example, same as rope and the snake, that the rope is the real thing on which we have imposed this knowledge of the snake on that. So it's called adhyastam, that is, have been superimposed on that. And when that superimposition has gone away, when that has gone away, that perception of the snake has gone away, and that is taken out, then the real thing comes to us. The position as the real true thing as the rope, that conception has come to us. Asandam apyandahi mandarenam, asandam gunandam kimayandi sandaha. Similarly, Brahma is saying here, that the material body, what we have, with which we have identified so strongly, and the material world also is similar, in the same situation. That at the moment, my identity is with this material world and the material body. As long as that identity is there, we have to experience everything of the material existence, everything in the material existence. So the jnani's process is, one after the other, they eliminate everything. Is it mind? No. Is it intelligence? No. Is it senses? No. Is it the false ego? No. Is it the five material elements? No. Like this, through the process of knowledge, they eliminate everything. They eliminate one after the other everything. And they come to their pure I am spirit, so aham brahmasmi position. They come to that platform. They come to that realization. This is the process of knowledge. And this is what is the process of knowledge. And the devotee's process is also similar in the sense the devotee wants to love that person who is not any of these things, who is beyond than that. That is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Krishna. So he approaches Krishna in the same way. Then actually the substance is one and the same. The jnani is looking for the same thing. The devotee is also looking for the same thing. But through different processes they approach. They love that person who is above the modes of material nature. And through that process of love he gets purified. And when that purification happens, he realizes that he is a part and parcel of Krishna. That realization comes to him. And when he realizes that he is a part and parcel of Krishna, then all his material activities are finished there. Then it is no more significance to him. So whether it is through the process of knowledge or it is through the process of devotion, ultimately Brahma says it is Krishna who is realized through that.
Athabide deva padambujadvayam prasadaleshanugrihidamevahi jnana jnana aditattvam bhagavan mahimno na janyamego vichiram vijinvan.
But here Brahma makes a little remark. What does he say?
Athabide deva padambujadvayam prasadaleshanugrihidamevahi.
That if one gets a little bit of mercy from you, then through jnana margam, which is a very very difficult process,
jnana abhidattvam bhagavan mahimno na janyam ego vichiram vichinvan,
alone, because jnana margam is practiced on one's own, it doesn't require, like devotees require association, isn't it? We talk about association all the time. So association is important for the devotees. For the jnani, association is not so important. Why? Because it is his own effort. He is trying to realize on his own, isn't it? So for him, a determination is more important than association. Determination to follow that process very seriously. It requires tremendous determination. And apart from that, a devotee is normally not so renounced in his life, because many of our devotees also, including me, we all like to have some comforts in this world, isn't it? But our comfort level is such that a little disturbance will upset our spiritual life so strongly. So there also we don't score very much compared to jnani. And renunciation is a must for one who wants to advance on the spiritual path. In the Bhagavatam it is very clearly mentioned in the second chapter itself. What does Krishna say there? In Suda Goswami says to Shravanagrishi about it. In a few important verses, he has mentioned there. If you look at the Bhagavatam, you will find
Vasudeve Bhagavadi Bhagaval Bhakti Yo Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Jayadahaidugam.
The importance of Vairagyam is mentioned there in the second chapter, where Suda Goswami says to Shravanagrishi that
Vasudeve Bhagavadi Bhakti Yoga Prayojida Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yadahaidugam.
That knowledge and renunciation goes are required to develop pure Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it will be a wishy-washy arrangement like we have today. What we have got. We all think we are great devotees, but from the Bhagavatam point of view, we haven't got any devotion. That will may take another million lifetimes before we get there.
Vasudeve Bhagavadi Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Jayadahaidugam.
That this bhakti process is such that it will bring that whatever shortage there in devotion, in knowledge and renunciation, if one becomes very pure in his devotion to Krishna, automatically whatever that is lacking, Krishna will make it up also there. But they are required. They are not to be ignored at all. Two things won't go together. A first class material life and a pure devotional service. That will not work together. That is known from time immemorial. It's an accepted fact. In the Bhagavatam, it is again repeatedly mentioned this. The same point is mentioned again. That that the importance of Vairagyam and is pointed out.
Tachraddhanamunayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyandhyalpanijalpmanam bhaktyashrita grihidaya.
That when does one realize tachraddhanamunayo, that when Shraddha increases, that Muni, the person who is endeavoring for spiritual perfection, what will happen? Tachadhanamanayo, with the help of Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya. Jnana Vairagya is there to assist him. Jnana Pashyanti Almani Chalpanam. He will see the part and parcel of Krishna, Supreme Lord's presence within oneself. Pashyanti Almani Chalpanam Bhaktya Shruta Grihidaya. Then he will understand what is pure devotion means. Otherwise, how we will understand what pure devotion? Otherwise, up to that point, everything is a material transaction with Krishna. So much material activity is going on, our material desires we want to get fulfilled, and for that we'll go to Krishna, and we will see if Krishna is giving us all that, it's fine. When Krishna is not giving, we will also search for other routes. This is how we are. So that is why this Rajayogam chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is so important. It is simple. When Krishna says it is simple, but to reach that level of purity is very, very difficult. Very difficult. It takes a long, long time to come to that. After mentioned 10,000 years of austerities, Kardama Praja, we still wanted to get married and start a family life. After 10,000 years of austerity. We haven't had even 1 year of austerity. And we would like to have another 100 wives if possible and to live a comfortable material life. And after that, we still think, and there are instances like that in the spiritual life also. One instance, if you remember, Saubhari Maharshi, when he was underneath the water, he was frightened of performing austerities in the land. And so, because his desire was so strong, so he decided, he was a very powerful sage, went underneath the water and wanted to perform austerities there. When he was performing austerities there, suddenly he saw two fishes were having a relationship there. And seeing their playful mood, Saubhari's mind got agitated. And God wanted to get married. Gave up all spiritual life activities there, came back, and went back and told the king, I want to marry your daughters. So all these stories in the Bhagavatam is telling us what? It's only telling us that this Vairagyam is required. Without Vairagyam, spiritual life won't go. So, Jnana Vairagya Tashradhadanamanayo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya. And when Jnana and Vairagyam is complete in a person, and the seriousness from that becomes, develops pure devotion in his heart, what will happen? Pashyanti Almani Chatmanam. He will see who he is. His realization with Krishna, relationship with Krishna will be known to him. Bhaktya Shruta Grihidaya. That time, that pure devotion will start its work in that person's heart. Up to that time, one has to realize one's own position. Not to build some castles thinking that I am on my way now to the spiritual world. We have a long way to go. Tadastume nadasa bhuri bhago bhave travanya traduva tirascham yena hamego bibhavajanana bhutva nisheve tavapada pallavam. Ultimately, Brahma, only Brahma can say this. We can't say these things to Krishna. Why? Because Brahma knows now what is Krishna's position is. So Brahma is concluding these verses here in this verse 30, saying that at least in this lifetime, no matter what body I get in my next lifetime, it doesn't matter, that let me be somebody who is one of your associates and at least a servant of your associates. Brahma has become so humble now to say to Krishna like this. He was not thinking about his own position as Lord Brahma at that time. What he was saying to Krishna was, Tadasume nathasa bhuri bhago bhavetravanya traduva tirascham yenahamego bi bhava janana bhutva nisheve tavapada pallavam. That only my desire is that if I get another birth, let it be somewhere, under some circumstances where I can be with one of your associates and be a servant there in your service. That is all. Brahma is trying to tell us what should be the mood of a devotee. Devotee has to be like this, that only desire is to be somewhere, under whatever circumstances it is, one should be able to be a servant of Krishna. That is only desire for the devotee. After this, now from here onwards, from the next 6 to 7 verses, Brahma talks about something different. What was that? Brahma says now that he saw what has happened in Vrindavanam, what he experienced. So he wanted to talk about the personalities in Vrindavanam. The cowherd boys, the gopis and the trees, plants, creepers and the cows and calves, everyone in Vrindavan, Govardhan, everybody, what their position is. In 7 verses, out of the 40 verses, Brahma used 7 verses to glorify Vrindavanam, Vrindavanam's glory. That is what Brahma is talking about. Nowhere in Brahmastuti, Brahma says there, we have to build first-class apartments in Vrindavanam and live comfortably there. No, it's not mentioned anywhere. Brahma is only saying how respectful one has to be to Vrindavanam. Brahma never said that, use Vrindavanam for our own material happiness. And so much ignorance, when one does not study Brahmastuti, one will not understand Vrindavanam. When one does not study Srimad Bhagavatam properly, one will not be able to honor and respect Vrindavanam. Vrindavanam's position is so high in the spiritual spiritual world that therefore even Brahma is withdrawing from Vrindavanam, offering respects to Vrindavanam. And what do we think about Vrindavanam? What do we think about Vrindavanam? We think Vrindavanam, after all, for us, is 8 hours flight to Delhi, couple of hours by taxi. We are in Vrindavanam. And we have got the best apartment in Vrindavanam, all set up for us. So nice holiday there, away from the winter time, escape from the winter. And oh, I've gone for Kartik, Prabhu. I was there for Kartik. No, I'm advancing, very much I'm advancing. Yes, I am advancing. And I come back, and I tell people also, I've been there for Kartik. Last Kartik I was there. So, but that is all very good. That at least you're going to Vrindavan, you didn't go to Florida. That's a big thing. But the fact is, to understand Vrindavanam, you have to read Brahma's description of Vrindavanam. That if one can go to Vrindavanam with this consciousness, what Brahma has spoken here, then that is going to Vrindavanam. In the olden days, no one went to Vrindavanam like the way we go to Vrindavanam. People went to Vrindavanam at the very fag end of their life, to because knowing very well that family life, family entanglements, and all other material desires are even an offense to the holy dham, Krishna's place, Krishna's holy dham. So they went there at the time in life when all material activities have come to a dead end. And when they went there, the only desire was to give up the body in that place in chanting the holy names of Krishna, Krishna's holy names, and to be in the association of the great souls. And when they approached Vrindavanam, they paid their obeisances to the dust of the Vrindavanam before they entered to Vrindavanam. Because that was the consciousness of those people who went to Vrindavanam in those days. But time has changed. And now the government of India is finding that there is a lot of metal deposits in Vrindavanam. So they decided to go for a quarry there. They said there's a lot of digging going on and there's a lot of fighting going on about it. Also, you can see, read all that thing in the news saying that with so much metal deposits there, I don't know what metal they have found, copper or something like that, they think that Vrindavanam has to be immediately immediately dug out and all the metal should be taken out from there. This is the realization of the great souls in today. So, Vrindavanam, Brahma says here, Aho dithanya vrajagoramanyam stanyamrudam pidam adivademuda yasam vibho valsadara almaja almana yatruptaye dhyavina chalamadvaram. Then, Aho dithanya vrajagoramanyam stanyamrudam pidam adivademuda. First of all, glorifying the gopis. Why? Because Krishna has drunk their milk from their breasts. How fortunate they were. This is Brahma's. Brahma is thinking in relationship with the gopis what his position is. That gopis had that great happiness from being with Krishna for, it was not a very long time compared to 125 years or so. Great devotees have calculated that Krishna spent 125 years in this world. Out of that, Vrindavanam pastimes have lasted only about 12 years after that Krishna left Vrindavanam. But in that 12 years, when Krishna spent with the time with the gopis, the activities of Krishna was such that the gopis were given the maximum association with Krishna in the most personal way. That gopis had the opportunity, Aho dithanya vrajagoramanyam stanyamrudam pidam adivade muda. That how happily Krishna sucked their breasts and enjoyed the happiness with the gopis. Yasam vibho valsadaratmajalmana yatraptaye dhyabina chalamadvaram. That the cowherd boys and the cows and calves, what an association they had.
And not only that, what to take up, talk about their
their good fortune. If you remember that pastime, this has gone into Brahma's head very deeply. What happened? When Brahma covered the cowherd boys and the calves and the cows from Krishna's vision and tried to put illusion on Krishna, influence Maya on Krishna, what did Krishna do? Krishna expanded himself, didn't he? He expanded himself into the cows, the calves, the cowherd boys, the flute, everything, Chidvaktam and all. Siddharajarya Swamiji says like that. And even the flute, everything was Krishna. Krishna has expanded into the flute, into the horn, and every other thing, whatever that was, it was Krishna then. Krishna expanded himself in that form. And all these expansions of Krishna, in the form of different cowherd boys, they have gone home that day. They have gone home. For a year this happened. It lasted 1 year. They went home. And when they went home, the gopis didn't know who had come. Gopis think their children had come. Their own children had come. Actually, they were associating with Krishna personally at that time at home. And the cows also didn't know who had come. The calves didn't know who the mother was. They were all thinking that it was their own original calf and cow. But actually, they were all Krishna's expansions at that time. They were all Krishna's expansions at that time. And because they were Krishna's expansions, there was a very specific atmosphere at that time in Vrindavanam. Brahma admits that. That was found out much later by Balaram. Balaram found it out. Because one day, when Balaram was looking around, suddenly he noticed there's something very unusual happening in Vrindavanam. An unusual relationship between the cows and the calves. Normally, the cow will only show affection to its own calf. When its own calf comes to suck the milk, it will show all the affection. And it will lick and it will start profusely give the milk to the calf to drink. But he noticed that all cows were responding to all the calves in the same way, which was pretty unusual thing to happen. So Balaram started thinking. In other words, even Balaram was kept in illusion by Krishna's energy for one whole year. And when Balaram realized, he went and asked Krishna about it. What is happening, my dear brother, here? He says, it was then that Krishna told him what has happened. Up to that time, even Balaram did not know that all these were expansions of Krishna, who was in Vrindavanam at that time. So the gopis who are at home, they got the opportunity to serve Krishna like this one whole year. In their life, it was another great success for them. And Brahma is feeling now the great disappointment that he didn't even get that opportunity. Not only that, he has come and done this, committed this offense to Krishna. So you can imagine Brahma's thoughts, how that's going through. That
Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nanda gopa vrajaugasam, yen mitram paramanandam, purnam brahma sanatanam.
In the last verse, also Brahma spoke about another thing, that there Brahma was minimizing the importance of sacrifice. He mentioned here, yatriptaye dhya abhinajala madhvara, that even great sacrifices will not please you to that extent. Will not please you. And even by performing great sacrifices, you will not show this mercy to the people. You won't show this mercy, even if you have to perform very, very lavishly, great, great sacrifices, even that will not please you. But here, Brahma is saying in the next verse, even Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nanda gopa vrajaugasam. Look at their good fortune, the cowherd boys and the inhabitants of Vrajam, Nanda Maharaj's people there. En mitram paramanandam, that the friend is the supreme bliss, absolute bliss, Krishna. Purna Brahmam is the Purna Brahmam. It's the complete Brahman, Sanatanam, eternal. Eternal Brahman is playing around in their courtyard. That's what Brahma is saying. So there, the last words, the Karmakandam was minimized, and here Jnanakandam is minimized. Karmakandam and Jnanakandam ultimately has to come to this process of bhakti, as surrendering to, as becoming, as the way the devotee gets the opportunity to associate with Krishna. The others do not get that opportunity. That is what Brahma is saying here. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam. Nandagopa prajaugasam yenmitram paramanandam purnam brahma sanatanam esham du bhagya mahima chidat avadastal ega adashaiva hivayam vadabhuri bhagaha edal drishiga dashagai asagralpi bhama sharvada yongrudija madhamurdasavam tem esham du bhagya mahima chidat avadastal ega adashaiva hivayam vadabhuri bhagam.
Brahma put something different now. In a different way, he mentions this. All our senses have got different predominating deities, isn't it? So we have discussed this before. There's a list of them. That Lord Shiva is the predominating deity of the false ego, Ahangaram. The Adhishthana Devata is Lord Shiva. Intelligence, Buddhi, Adhishthana Devata is Lord Brahma. For the mind, the predominating deity is the moon. Adhishthana Devata it is called, is moon. And for the ears is the different directions, dikpalas, they are the Adhishthana Devata. For the tukka, for the senses of touch is Vayu. And for the ears it is sun. The sun is the, for the eyes it is the sun. And for the tongue it is Varuna. And for the nose it is the Ashini Kumaras. That is the Ashini Kumaras are the physicians of the demigods. And for the word, it is the fire. For the hands, it is Indra. And for the feet, it is Upendra. Like this, all the senses have got different Adhishtadra Devata. It is very important to know these things, because these Adhishtadra Devadas, because of their presence, we are able to enjoy and execute our activities. According to Shastram, that Bhagavadam, as well as all the Vedic scriptures, it is said that the ability to enjoy senses is because of their presence there. When we enjoy the senses, because of the presence of these predominating deities, we are able to enjoy the senses. Esham tu bhagya mahima chidadavadasal egadashaiva hibhayam badabhuri bhagaha edal drishiga jashagai asagral pibhama sarvadayongrudhujamadhyamadhapradasavam tem. When one is engaging one's senses in Krishna's service, and the senses are getting satisfied, who is actually pleased? These predominating deities are pleased. They get the satisfaction. They please, they get the pleasure of Krishna there. Isn't it? All the predominating deities are pleased with the presence of Krishna there. Because when the senses are engaged in Krishna's service, this is what happens. If it is like that, if any sense, for example, when you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the Dikpalas, they are pleased because they are also getting the happiness, because they get an opportunity to hear about Krishna. When you see the deity of Krishna in the temple, what happens? The eyes are enjoying, and with the result that the predominating deity of the eye, the sun planet, gets happiness from that. So all the different predominating deities gets pleased when we execute Krishna consciousness. Similarly, when you engage your mind in thoughts of Krishna, the moon planet is pleased with that. So like this, all the different predominating deities also get pleased when we execute Krishna consciousness in our life with different senses and the body and the mind. But what happens is that when we engage these senses, individual senses, only that particular predominating deity gets a pleasure, isn't it? Only the particular predominating deity gets a pleasure. But Gopi's case was little different. They engaged everything in Krishna's service at the same time. That was their good fortune.
If you read the childhood pastimes, Balalila, Krishna's childhood pastimes in Vrindavanam, you will notice that the gopis had 24 hours only one business, to be engaged in Krishna's service, in one way or the other. That is why after many, many years, when Krishna finished his pastimes in Vrindavanam, he moved on to Mathura. From Mathura, he moved on to Dwaraka. And from Dwaraka, he went to Kurukshetra for the Mahabharata war. Everything was engineered from Dwaraka. And later on, at the end of 10th canto, you'll notice, there was a great sacrifice happened in Kurukshetra, for which he invited everyone from Vrindavanam to come. So, all the gopis went from Vrindavanam to Kurukshetra for that sacrifice, because they were invited. Nanda Maharaj went there, Yashoda Devi went there, and all these gopis, they have also gone there to see Krishna there. Krishna has left Vrindavanam long, long ago. 12 years he left Vrindavanam. Now Krishna must have been very close to 100 years or something close to that. Of course, Krishna doesn't get old like us. Our body doesn't need to get 100 years. So 40 itself it starts. But show all its beauty. But Krishna's body, as Bhagavatam, as Brahma Samhita says there, Krishna's body is different, isn't it? That what Premanjana Chirida Bhakti Vilojanena Sandasadevakadayeshu Vilogayandi Yam Shyama Sundaram Achindaguna Swarubam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That Shyama Sundara, that name which gopis have given to Krishna, has been always proven that he always remained a Shyama Sundara throughout life. He never changed. That Shyama Sundara form has never changed. Yam Shyama Sundaram Achindya Guna Swarubam. That Guna Swarubam of Krishna has never changed. So, what do we find when gopis went there? Krishna's took Vasudeva and Devaki and accommodated with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda together. Krishna put them all together. Krishna arranged everything. The whole festival was there was a solar eclipse at that time in Kurukshetra, and they all gone there for that solar eclipse. So at that time, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda were arranged to live with Vasudeva and Devaki. Similarly, all the others who had came from Dwaraka, they were asked to live with Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men who had come from Vrindavanam. They were all given facilities together to live. Gopis alone were taken separately. They were given a separate place for them to stay. Krishna's, all the queens were present there. 16,108 wives, they were all present there. And all the, especially the major 8 queens, Ashtamahishis they are called, they were all there. Rukmini Devi was there, Satyavadi, Jambavadi, Bhadra, Satya, Dev, Lakshmana, and all of them were present there. But they were not asked to stay with the gopis. Gopis were taken separately and they were given a separate facility. And it was there that Krishna spoke to them about their any desires if they had. Krishna has asked them at that time. And if you see the reply of the gopis at that time, what they spoke to Krishna was that they had only one desire, they said, that again and again, we will go back now to Vrindavanam. And our normal business is to sell the yogurt and milk and things like that. And that was their normal business. We'll continue doing that business. Gopis never asked Krishna, they wanted liberation. Gopis never asked Krishna any material comforts in this world. Nothing is mentioned there. Only thing gopis asked Krishna was one thing. What is that? When we go back and when we engage in our normal activities in this world, all the time, let us not forget about that good times you were with us in Vrindavanam. That we will be able to sing those songs, what has been made about those childhood days in Vrindavanam when Krishna spent there. And as and when, any time, if ever the mind goes into material life or material consciousness, you should come up immediately in our mind and raise us from that material consciousness and bring us back into your thoughts and thinking about Krishna and the childhood. That's all gopis asked Krishna. At that point, Krishna realized that they have become 100% pure in their mind. Because only a person like that, such people can ask like that. Suppose had Krishna has asked us this question, what we would have said? We would have, I don't think I have to say what we would have said. Probably every one of us, we would have told Krishna that that endless list. After all that, if that all satisfied, so a devotee, a pure devotee's position is like that. He has no desire. There is no material desire anymore. Completely gone from the consciousness. Only gopis could say this to Krishna. That is the beauty of that conversation with Krishna. Ahuschate nalina nabha padara vindam yogeshware abhivijindya maghada bhodehi. Just to have a glimpse of Krishna. Great yogis, they meditate whole lifetime just to get a glimpse of him. Just to get a glimpse of him inside his consciousness. Inside their consciousness. Not forever, just to get a glimpse. That's enough for them. Because even if they get a glimpse, they think they've reached somewhere. Isn't it? Yogeshware apivijindya maghada bhodehi. Ahuschade nalina nabha padara vindam. And not even whole of Krishna's only lotus feet they just want to see. Just want to see the lotus feet. Why I'm saying all these things is, we shouldn't minimize Krishna's position. Krishna's position is so high, our position is so low. We shouldn't think it is such a simple task, this Krishna consciousness, they will do like this and get there. It doesn't going to happen like that. Yogeshware apivijindya maghada bhodehi. Samsara kubam patido taranavalambam. That samsara kubam means in this dark material existence, anyone can fall into that. As and when, if ever we fall into that, Gopi says to Krishna, samsara kubam patido taranavalambam. If ever that happens, our avalambam means our our shelter is geham joshamabi manasudiyal sadana. If ever that happens, immediately you should come up in our heart, in our mind, and like a sun it should rise in our heart. Why did Gopi say like this? Reason is, the sun rise and sunset is not in our control, isn't it? We don't have to control sunrise and sunset, do we? Whether we like it or not, in the morning he comes, in the evening he goes. That is an established truth, isn't it? So gopis are saying to Krishna that at that point, if ever we get affected by material world by any reason, if that happens, samsara kubam, if that happens to us, our avalambam is your lotus feet. And that lotus feet should come up in our mind just like sunrise, without being called for. We don't have to call the sun, come up in the morning, or tomorrow come a little later, I have to sleep a little bit more. It has no meaning, isn't it? But the relationship with the gopis are saying to Krishna, exactly like the sun rises without being called for. Because sun, if you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, this is very important. Why Krishna says, sun planet has been given this imam vivasvade yogam proktavanaham avyayam vaivasvanmanave praha manurakshagave bravid. That sun has been given as the best example of kamayogam, yes, executing kamayogam is concerned, the sun is the best example. Day after day, without thinking anything, he comes and goes, does his work and goes away. Isn't it? Under whose direction? Krishna's direction. So the finest example for Krishna as far as Karma Yoga is concerned is the sun, Vaivaswan. So the Vaivaswan is doing that, therefore he has given this special position. And Krishna says, I spoke Bhagavad Gita to him millions of years ago. The Bhagavad Gita Krishna has spoken like that. And then Vaivaswan to Swayambhuva Manu, and Manu to Ikshvaku. Like that it has come. So from the historic point of view, that is his position. And he does that so promptly that he's recognized like this. And gopis take that as the best authority to say to Krishna that as and when we fall into material consciousness, like sun, you should come up inside us and bring us back to that that happiness what we had when you were in Vrindavanam. That was the prayer of the gopis. And therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami says that this prayer of gopis is an indication of their position. Ahushyate nalina nava padaravindam yogeshware rapi vichindyam agada bodehi samsara gopa vadido taranavalambam yaham yusham abhimanasudiyal sadanam. Then, after that, Tadbhuri bhagyamiho janmakima pyadavyam yad gokulebi kadamangri rajobishegam yad jividam du nikilam bhagavan mugundas tadvabi yad padaraja shudhi murgyamevam. Then, finally, Brahma is saying to Krishna that I have no qualification to be with any of them. By now, Brahma has properly judged, understood his position in relationship with the gopis and the cowherd boys. And he is saying here, Talbhuri bhagyamiva janmakima adavyam yad gokulevi kadama angri rajobishegam yad jividam du nikilam bhagavan mugundasadhyabi yal padaraja shudimargyamevam. Then, at this point, Brahma has only one prayer to Krishna. At least in future, give me an opportunity to be one among them. One among them, that is what Brahma's aspiration is. Brahma, who is controlling the whole universe, he is our Prabhidamaha, or whatever you call the greatest grandfather, the topmost person from whom we have come later on, the creator of this universe. That Brahma is saying to Krishna like that, knowing his position very well. We'll stop there because we've got another few more verses before we conclude this. We'll finish that and we'll come back to Raja Yogam next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.